Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Father, what a privilege it is to be gathered together this morning. Lord, not only for this special occasion, but to worship you. Lord, you alone are worthy of the praises that we bring. And God, I pray that we would remember this day going forward, Lord, that this day would just be a beginning of a great thing that you're going to do. Lord, not only at Kenwood, but here at Second Mile, God, that you would give us great days ahead, Lord, that you would give us many souls that are brought to you, Lord, and just help us to be what you'd have us to be. Lord, help us to go deeper with you. Help us to go wider with you, Lord. Help us to go higher with you, I pray. Lord, bless Brother Cal now as he brings the message. Lord, apply it to our hearts. Lord, help us to follow hard after you, I pray. In Jesus' name.
Wow, what a morning. What a morning. We're going to be in Acts chapter 6 for just the next few minutes. As I mentioned earlier, these are great days in the life of Second Mile Church. Seven men have been brought through our deacon ordination council, and one man has been through our pastoral ordination council this morning. You all have already voted on those men, and I'm excited about their ministry to the saints. That's you all. Tell somebody you are a saint, aren't you? And to the community that Derek was praying about just a moment ago. And so I thought it would be good to quickly undergird their ministry this morning with a word from Scripture. Wasn't that a great word from Brother Rick? Mercy. And while Acts chapter 6 does not specifically call these seven men in Acts chapter 6 deacons and the 12 apostles as pastors, the word service or ministry, which is our root word for deacon, is used in verses 2 and 4. And more specifically, this passage can apply to deacons and pastors today. The New Testament church at this time was, it was rocking and rolling. It was blowing and growing. There's probably as many as 20,000 people that are in the church now there in Jerusalem that are part of the church. And by the way, if y'all hadn't figured this out, let me just tell you something in love. The more people you got, the more... Yeah. That's just the way it goes. Now, Satan had tried to defeat the church from the outside through persecution. That hadn't worked. And so now he's working on the inside of the church and doing his best to stir up trouble inside the church. There was two different groups of folks in the church in Jerusalem. You had these Hebraic Jews who were traditional, had grown up in and around Jerusalem. They were very traditional. They were, can I use the word, kind of fundamental? They were men of the word, and they spoke Hebrew language. They read their Hebrew Bible, and they were what you might call the cream of the crop. But you had these other Jewish believers that were Hellenistic in nature, and they had grown up in the Greek culture outside of Jerusalem. They'd been heavily impacted and influenced by the Greek culture. They spoke Greek. They probably, many of them, read from the Greek Septuagint, the Greek Bible that they had, and they were a little bit more moderate. Well, with all of these, the church had a bunch of widows and orphans. And by the way, y'all, the church ought to be attractive to poor people. I mean, don't ever get this high and mighty idea. We're to minister to everybody. And so the church is taking care of hundreds and hundreds of widows and orphans. And people would sell their property and give gifts and donations to the church. And the apostles, up until now, were responsible for the daily distribution of food and necessity and meeting the needs of all these church families, especially those of the widows and the orphans. Well, you, You know what happened? A complaint arose. The Hellenistic widows felt like they were being marginalized and discriminated against. And so you've got a big problem going on. And the apostles recognized it. And furthermore, they're spending so much time with this type of stuff that the ministry of the word and the ministry of prayer was being neglected. And so hence, you've got this huge problem in the church. And that's where the ministry of deacons and pastors helps so much even today. Let's take a look at this. A pastor's priorities, number one, have to be to preach the word and lead in prayer. Look at verse 4. Verse 4. Let's back up to verse 3. Don't you love God's word? Amen. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the words. The apostles saw their main priority, their main responsibility was to teach and preach the word for the equipping of the saints, as Ephesians 4, 11 and 12 tell us, and to lead the church in prayer. It wasn't that they were beneath serving tables. It had to do with function. It had to do with responsibilities and priorities. Their focus was to be on preaching and praying. And I want to remind you of this, Derek. That's got to be numero uno. You got to stay with the stuff on those two pillars. I know a pastor takes care of a lot of other things. I get that. His plate is full with administration, visitation, funerals, weddings. He's busy with associational and denominational responsibilities. He's busy with the sick and making phone calls and texts and emails, blah, blah, blah. I get all of that. And he's also busy, believe it or not, I'm invited to almost every family function in the church. Some of them I can make it, sometimes I can't. But see, what we've got to focus on as pastors is the preaching of God's word, because that equips the saints to serve, to do the work of the ministry. And then pastor also has to be the prayer warrior, the prayer leader for the church. The definite article is implied here, the prayer. He's to lead the prayer meeting. He's to pray for spiritual oversight and vision for the church. And he's to pray for the members. And he's to lead out in prayer. Now, you know, when the New Testament church was together, do you know what they were doing? They were doing a lot of things, but they always spent time in prayer. And those apostles led those prayer meetings. And I just want to tell you, Derek, you are the prayer leader. You're the prayer warrior out at Kenwood Baptist Church. You the man. And if you don't stay with prayer and you don't stay with preaching, everything else doesn't matter. Amen. So that's the responsibility. That's the priority of the pastor. And so, you know, y'all know me pretty well. Those of you that know me pretty well. I know I'm a dinosaur. I know I'm archaic. I know I'm old-fashioned. I know I'm, you know, all of that. But I still think the finest hour of the week is when the man of God gets up in the pulpit of God and preaches to the saints of God. I think it happens because it nourishes us. It blesses us. It challenges us. It warns us. It comforts us. It protects us. And if need be, the word even saves us. Amen. And so pastors in the room, ministers in the room, let's stay with preaching and praying. Let's give God some glory here. Amen. And then I want you to see the difference that a deacon can make in the local church. The difference a deacon makes. And it has to do with peace and purpose. Look at verse 5. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. Then the word of God spread, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. Notice that seven men were chosen that were already inside the church. Second mile, listen to me. We constantly got to be training up and mentoring potential leaders. We've got to be doing that all the time. Because pastors come, deacons come, pastors go, and deacons go. We've got to have a pipeline of servant leadership in this church. And so they looked out amongst all the folks, the men in the church, and they chose seven men. And notice, these men had a good reputation. They were squeaky clean. They were full of integrity. They were on the inside what they claimed to be on the outside. They had a good reputation with folks on the outside and folks on the inside. Isn't that a great... What was it? Was it Will Barnett's favorite scripture? A good name? A good name is important. Let me tell you, a good reputation. Now, we're not perfect, but our hearts are coated with integrity. Our lips flow with honesty. Our lives are marked by fidelity. That's what a man of God should look like and act like. Amen? Has a good reputation, is full of the Holy Spirit. Well, what is that? I don't know how to say it. He just got God all over him. He listens to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. He follows the leadership of the Holy Spirit. He does what God's telling him to do. And these men that were chosen were full of the Holy Spirit. Can I just say, these seven guys and this fellow right here and their wives are all full of the Holy Spirit. You noticed it. Because you put them in place with your vote. And then they're also full of wisdom. Now, deacons need the leadership. Ministers, pastors need the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And they need wisdom. Why? Well, because they're dealing with the needs of the people. And, you know, deacons and pastors have to deal with sin, squabbles, folks who are suffering, folks who are sick, members. Y'all do know church members have some unrealistic expectations? They do. And single parents, single moms have all kinds of troubles and issues. And this is where deacon ministry comes in. Many of these issues that I've just mentioned can threaten the unity and harmony of the church. And that's where deacon ministry comes alongside pastoral ministry, and they work hand in hand. And you show me a church that's growing, you show me a church that's in harmony and unity, and I'll guarantee you their servant leaders are serving hand in hand. That's the way it's supposed to be. And by the way, deacon ministry frees the pastor up to do what he's supposed to do. And so our great deacons at Second Mile Church and out at our campus church, they're going to provide ministry to the saints. Pastors feed the flock. Deacons serve the flock. Say that with me. Pastors feed the flock. Deacons serve the flock. And when that's happening, great things take place. Are y'all with me? And so, what's the church all about? What are we supposed to do? What did Jesus tell us to do before He left? We're to do what? We're to make disciples. If we don't do anything else, that's what we've got to do. Because that's what He told us to do. That's the purpose of the church. And did you catch that down there in verse 7? Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. When pastors are doing what they're supposed to do, and deacons are doing what they're supposed to do, the church multiplies for the glory of God. And so, in closing, what I'd like to do is pray and seek God's leadership as a congregation. And by the way, the pew has a little something to play in this thing too. And when the pastors are feeding the flock and the deacons are serving the flock, guess what the flock does? They minister to people. And they continue to make disciples. It all works together, see? We're in this thing together. There's no such thing as Lone Ranger Christianity in the Bible. We're all together. And so what I'd like us to do this morning in this, as a hymn of response, is just to ask yourself the question, what am I doing for Jesus' sake? What am I doing for His glory? Where am I serving? What am I doing? If everybody was doing what I'm doing, if everybody was the kind of church member that I am, what kind of church would we have? Andrew's going to come and lead us in a hymn, a song of response. And if you need to hit the altar this morning, if there's sin in your life, by the way, in a crowd this size, there's got to be some lost folks here. And I want to tell you, if you'll call on Jesus, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you'll call on Him to save you and forgive you, He'll do just that. But it all starts with you. Let's all stand and sing. The altar's open, you come. So, Lord, here we are, asking You to change us for our good and Your glory. In Jesus' sweet name we pray. All God's children said, amen.
To their wives and to their families. Father, our prayer right now is that this church with two locations would just sense Your power, Your strength, Your guidance. Lord, for Greg and for Will and for Ron, as they serve You as part of the deacon body, may they be instruments of peace, unity, service. Father, for Derek, as we set him aside in a sense for the ministry of the Word today, our prayer is that You would surround him with Your wisdom and Your presence. Father, we pray that his service here at Second Mile and at Kenwood would truly be a ministry that impacts lostness because he has shared the gospel. I pray that You would surround each of these men in their marriages. Lord, sustain them. And Father, I pray that as they are obedient to You, You will provide everything that is necessary for them to follow You obediently. And Father, we just celebrate with the family of God today what You're doing by Your grace and in Your power. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.